Sponsored by vivagreen-greensacks.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Ooh, 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show at Bloom Fringe, Paris Court Townhouse Centre, and we're with Peter Donegan. Peter.
Brian, yes, good evening and good afternoon, I should say, to all and every one of you who have come to the Paris Court Townhouse Centre today. Our thanks to the behind-the-scenes team, Luke Donegan, our executive producer, Katrina Redmond, and Stuart and Sean, who provided transportation and refreshments. Also to Counter Culture upstairs for providing us with coffee this afternoon. You would not believe it if I told you how beautiful a day it is in Dublin City Centre, because you may be listening to this in the future. It could be October or November. Put into your googly search hashtag Bloom Fringe and Sod Show, S-O-D-S-H-O-W, and you will come up with all of the relevant bits and bobs. In my company today, we pretty much have what might be regarded as a rock and roll superstar of the, do I call it the couture world? Do I call it that? Helen James,
No.
You're very welcome to the Sod Show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Helen, can you first of all explain, I guess, what you do for a living?
I am a homewares designer, and I also have a range of food called Considered. It's a range really to do about cooking and eating and making your home look beautiful, and it sells in Dunn stores.
And that is how you are pretty much famed. Is that do I call you famous? Do people come up on the street and say, by the way, I got your stuff, it's brilliant, I have it in my home?
Well, I also just did a show called Home of the Year for RTE, and so people would come up to me more about that.
And they will come up to you more so now because of the Sod Show.
Exactly.
Indeed. Good afternoon. Are you enjoying reading the paper? You should be talking to your good lady. You know that downstairs? Talk to her. Say hello. Yeah, your daughter's laughing. Is that your daughter? Are you the daughter? Yes, you are. Yeah, God bless you. He's a very bad dancer. For those of you who are not aware, this is a random gentleman sitting downstairs having a cuppa with his family. He didn't know I was going to pick on him for no apparent reason. Helen, you mentioned the shop. Is it a coffee shop? Do I call it that?
Yeah, we have a cafe down on Drury Street called Considered. And we make everything on site. We have sandwiches and cakes and great coffee. And we also sell the full range of my line at Dunn Stores.
Okay, so that's the first part out of the way. The second part on this is we are obviously here because of Bloom Fringe, and we are known today and in the future, or this collection, if you're listening and you have a DeLorean motor car, that's a reference to October 25th, 1985, for those of you who are Back to the Future fans, Anthony McGuinness. But let me break this down, Bobby Brown, as we like to say on the Sod Show. You got involved in Bloom Fringe because...
Because I'm a very keen gardener. I have a garden down in Westmeath, and I'm mad about my garden. And so I got involved because I think it's great fun, and it's a great community spirit.
Okay, now that's the first part of it. And don't get me wrong, you might hear the odd pause, hit or ditter. There are live things happening at live events, as I like to say, when I'm doing my MC stuff. And that's allowed. It's not Brian in the studio in a darkened room and me outside in the garden only getting distracted by four hens. We were chatting earlier on about what you were doing for Bloom Fringe, and I thought it was probably the nicest thing I have ever seen in my life since my wee young daughter Ella's birthday, and one of her cousins made her a wee little room. My brother Liam, if you're listening, it's your daughter that I'm referring to, in case you've forgotten. I'm joking, my man, I'm joking. Don't want to get you into trouble. And it was a wee little room with a box in it. There was a little pretend bed made out of cardboard, and it was a little pretend desk with a wee little pretend laptop on it. It was all miniaturized and covered with cellophane. And it was that thing, I guess, of that giving a little bit, and how good you feel about giving something than you might say receiving, which is the ethos that Mom would have reared us with. Your gig with Bloom Fringe is extra special. What is it?
We are giving away a little lettuce plant with every coffee today in the cafe. So I potted them all up on Thursday evening, They come from a grower, a local grower down in Westmead, so they're organically grown little lettuce plants, and you get a free one with your coffee today.
Now, you say local Westmead. Do you want to mention the grower?
Well, he's very, very small. He sells in Castle Pollard. His name is Kevin Harmon.
Castle Pollard, which would be home to Tullinally Castle
right,
and Gardens.
Yes.
We have featured them on the Sod Show. And Mullingar, I should also add, home to Loch Ennell, where I have gone camping on my holidays. And on the far side of Loch Ennell, you will find Jonathan Swift Park. And it notes on the sign, did you notice, Helen, on your way in the door, there is no shooting allowed in Jonathan Swift Park. Just in case you were thinking of bringing your gun.
I'll remember that. Good to know.
It's good to know. your own garden at home, do you have a garden? Is it
a big
garden?
Yes. Well, it's about half an acre.
That's big enough.
Yeah. It's big Dublin standards, not big Westmead standards.
No, is that where you live in Westmead? Are you living there?
I live between Dublin and Westmead, yeah.
Okay, so you have a small bit of a commute. What's an average, I won't say a Saturday afternoon because you're in here with us, but let's say a bank holiday Monday when maybe the shop is, you're probably open on a Monday as well, are you?
We're not open this Monday, no.
No, not this Monday indeed. But let's say this Monday, stereotypically, everybody's gone away. They've all gone to watch celebrate. Arsenal winning in the FA Cup this weekend.
Wouldn't be a celebration in my house.
Well, we pretend it is for this such show, Helen, considering you're in my living room at the Powers Court Townhouse Centre, which is also my former home. But what left your own devices do you get up to in a gardening sense? Do you mow the lawn? Do you put on the headphones?
I don't mow the lawn. That's left to somebody else in the house. But I would do the border. I have a couple of fruit trees and a big border, and my style of gardening is quite relaxed and wild. It's a real country cottage garden. There's a lot of lupins and geraniums and the real geraniums, not pelargoniums. I very much am a gardener where I plant things. And, you know, when we first had the garden, I planted a lot of lavender and it just died. So I never planted lavender again. Just like that's gone. Just whatever thrives and it does well. Lupins do really well. So I just keep planting more and more lupins. Fennel, which does well everywhere. But, I'm very much of the ethos that I try not to water too much. Only if we have a very, very dry spell would I water the garden, so it's very much kind of left to its own devices.
I'm gathering there seems to be a sense of, I won't say my own garden, but we're bearing in mind that I obviously work for a living, that working for a living is essentially making gardens, but when I come home, it's not that I don't want to see any more, it's just that there are only so many hours remaining left in the day, so as versus planting, let's say, radish seeds, as I used to do when I was 5, we've almost got a boom, Katrina Redmond, full sod show bingo going on here. But I've chosen to plant the fruit trees, which require very little maintenance. Yeah. The canopy of the trees means and the long grass growing underneath. Some people refer to it as biodiversity. I refer to it as I really don't want to go weeding on my hands and knees for 4.5 hours till 2 o'clock in the morning. You might get arrested.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be my style of gardening as well.
You've got the business going on as well. In the business, how important is that, I guess, understanding that knowledge of bringing that into your own shop? Do you decorate outside? Have you got a thing going on for Bloom Fringe as regards the front of the shop, lettuce aside?
We have the lettuces. We also have an amazing floral installation by a florist called The Informal Florist, and they came into the cafe and did a fantastic, beautiful installation with all, we met before and sort of discussed what to do, and so it's all like cow parsley and ferns and very natural and woody and green, and so we've decorated the whole cafe with ivy hanging from the ceiling, and it looks amazing. It'll be really sad to let it go.
We asked Mary this question earlier on, but essentially some might see it as an overhead to a business. You seem to have also embraced the Bloom Fringe ethos, which is a little bit rock and roll and very much from the heart.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Wow, okay, look, we're going to have a little bit more of a chat with superstar Helen James. She's a superstar today. She's in my company, and we're going to take a wee little break. This is The Cure, favourite of mine, Close to Me.
Sud Show at Bloom Fringe in the Paris Court Townhouse Centre in the centre of Dublin. We are recording as live for future broadcast. You're very welcome for comments if you can find Katrina with a microphone, and we'll take you here on air. We're going back to Peter and Helen.
Yes, indeed. We are live in the fantastic Paris Court Townhouse Centre. I can see Mary, our Paris Court Townhouse Centre manager down there. Hello, Mary. One of possibly the most elegant women I have met today, indeed. And I hope that gentleman sitting with his good wife having breakfast down there isn't eyeing her up. Yes, I'm still referring to you. I'm joking. Okay, we still have the wonderful Helen James in my company. They're laughing at me now. Helen, can I ask you, we were touching on the business, the greening of the business in a sense, the installation that you have in your shop window there today, the overheads, the cost. One of the things you do put a strong emphasis on is the use of fresh produce, and that can be kind of cliched, but how green, I guess, are you, and how green is that green? Is that an okay question?
Yeah, well, we make all the food is made freshly on site every day. Sandwiches are made to order. We make fantastic salads, which are freshly made every morning. And that was really, really important to me when we were starting the cafe and the concept of the cafe. I wasn't interested in putting my name above a door and just getting in food from outside and flogging it. I wanted it to be fresh produce that was made that I cared about.
Is it a case of that when I go in, the lettuce is, you know, from, let's say, for example, Westmead, because you referenced it earlier on, just as a maybe that's a correct example. Is it that the parsley is locally sourced, that the I don't know the time that is used in, let's say, the stuffing? I'm not a big foodie cooking person. I only grow the stuff. That's all I do. But am I far off the mark, or am I touching on it there?
Yeah, we use all our produce is, you know, supplied by Irish producers. And everything made fresh on site.
If I was to walk into your shop and I was to tell you that I am, I guess I don't know, I'm vegan, I only want to eat the green things that that your man Donegan likes, what's top of the list, what's top of the menu?
I would go definitely for our fresh salads. We've got five fabulous salads there, pick and mix, so you can just take what you like and it's a set price.
And for those who are maybe interested in doing a little bit of grow your own at home and they want to try and get that, I guess, essence of what is a Helen James, what do I call it, a inspired by style salad, what are the ingredients? I guess they're very easily figured out as well, you know, and it'll be on the menu as well.
I love to use loads of fresh herbs in my salads, and I'm also a big fan of eating flowers. So I love like putting nasturtium heads or pansies, or they look so pretty and they actually add flavor as well. And a lot of plants like rocket or, you know, all of those things, coriander, if it goes to seed, you can actually eat the flowers of any of those herbs. Chive flowers. I just recently made some lovely garlic mayonnaise and put chive flowers into it.
I tell you something, if Helen wasn't married, I'd run away with her right now and I'd leave this Sud Show podcast rolling on its own. Where we're heading to that level and my tummy's starting to rumble. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life was walking through the backways of Ballybohol, my own hometown in North County Dublin, and myself and a friend of mine pulling fresh nettle leaves as we go and rolling them up and eating them away, and then walking through the streets of Dublin city centre, and we're, if we listen to our good friends across the water in the BBC Gardeners Question Time podcast, they'll note that the greatest crime, I guess, in the horticultural circuit is people nipping off bits of plants for cuttings. In my case, it was nipping off heads of flowers to eat them, nasturtiums in many cases from people's window boxes, you know?
I'll tell you a tip that Thomas Pakenham of Tully Nally told me, and he will probably kill me for this, but he said, bring a plastic bag with some bread in it and pretend you're feeding the ducks. And then you just nip off the seeds heads, put them into your little plastic bag with the bread, and nobody knows. So I'm probably getting into big trouble for that. But
Thomas Pakenham is very much famed in down around my part. As I said to you, I was there on holidays. It's an absolute wonderful place to go. In the live broadcast sense of the world, We have Katrina Redmond on the far side of the Powers Court Townhouse Centre. Katrina, what have you got for me?
Well, if it was a beehive, it'd be buzzing. It's doing great here today. I'm just wondering, Helen, is there anything fundamental that ties itself through all of your businesses? Is there anything that ties between the food and the range that you have with the considered range, the cafe? Is there a thread that you run the whole way through?
Me?
Yeah.
I suppose my passion. I mean, I grew up very much, my home, my parents were into gardening and growing food, and both of my grandfathers were incredible gardeners, and both of my grandmothers were incredible bakers. And so food and where it comes from has always been really important to me, and gardening. And I've always been a big baker. And so really the range came out of my two passions, which would be food and gardening. And that was kind of, I wanted to make a range that addressed those things. So it worked and it was functional, but it was also beautiful. So I suppose that was kind of where it came from.
You weren't always based in Dublin, Helen, or in Westmead indeed, or between the two. You had a life a little bit outside of that. Why, I guess, the return back to Dublin? And for the younger people like myself, I know, I don't even use any natural beauty products to look this good, but maybe I should, says you. There's a bit of a heckling thing going on. But friends of mine have gone abroad, Germany, Australia, America, as the Irish invariably do. You decided to make a return. What was the missing link or the kink that made that happen, and why go away in the first place?
Well, I actually went to New York, and I went twice. I went first straight after college a long time ago in 1993, and lived there for 10 years. I then came back here. I worked in fashion. I had my own range here of accessories and clothing for 8 years. And then I decided that my heart was no longer in fashion, and we thought we might go back to New York. The recession here hit. We went back to New York, and that was when I made the move into homewares. I had worked in Donna Karan before, and they offered me a job in their homewares division, and so I went back to New York. And it was funny because I had been living down in Westmeath. I had, and the reason that we moved to Westmeath when we came back from New York was I wanted a garden. I wanted to be able to grow my own food. I wanted to have that connection. I wanted, soil. And so we went back to New York, and I really missed my garden. You know, we moved from behind our house is a massive field with a beautiful stream running through it, and my children, I had two boys at that point, I have three now, but they basically were reared feral, you know, in their shorts and running out in the field. And so we moved to New York to an apartment with no outdoor space, and I became involved in community gardens, and I suddenly realized, you know, all this urban gardening thing. I was living in Brooklyn, all this urban gardening and people having bees and all of this. And I realized that, like, all of these people who were so cool in Brooklyn were desperately, desperately trying to have a tiny piece of this life that I had left behind in Westmeath. And, you know, they were trying to have this tiny little plot of land to grow, you know, a basil plant or a tomato plant. And I realized that I actually, you know, the joy, I missed that joy, the joy of getting outside and being in the garden. And I just, the city couldn't give me that, you know. So that was actually quite surprising to me how much I missed it, because it's that thing of the grass is always greener, you know. When you're in Westmeath, you think, oh, New York, so cool, I want to go there. But then when I actually was there, I was actually, it surprised me how much I missed the garden.
But you've also got this point, and to be fair, Helen, where people tend to say, oh my God, I'd love to be a gardener, and I get it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I got slagged there recently for having too much fake tan on, and I was kind of saying, no, it's just from working outside in shorts and a t-shirt 24/7 around the clock. And people, I guess, on a sunny day always want to be the inverted commas gardener horticulturist. And at the same token, when it snows, maybe they turn off that idea. To actually then go and do it, as we spoke earlier on with Maureen from the Bonsai Shop here in Powers Court Tennis Centre, it changes everything when you come back and you do it and you realize, oh my God, the money income is a little bit different. The land is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Everything is essentially, you've got that dream, that picture, that old turf of Ireland picture in your head, and then on the other side you've got an electricity bill and you've got water rates and you've got a tax to car and did that change? But you were still running, as you said yourself, Fair Isle. Did I get that right?
Feral, Yeah. Well, I suppose when I came back from New York the last time, I now kind of have the best of both worlds, where I'm in Dublin and Westmeath. I commute between the two, so I sort of have the best of both worlds now, which is great. You know, I get to go to Westmeath at the weekends and enjoy the countryside and do my baking and have some peace and quiet.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to run away with this woman. This is it's just getting a bit too much. Just the ultimate in blind dating. If you ever want to know how to pick up chicks, just start your own garden radio show and you're away in a hack. I've got Mary Maureen and I've got Wonder Woman here to my right. Does this Westmead thing, on a serious note, have an influence on what is essentially, and again, we're taking this picture of, I'd love to have a shop where I made my own. It's that gardener's dream again. I'd like to have everything, and it's got to be of that quality and that quantity. It's got to be locally produced. I want it reared within about 2 minutes away from my shop front door, so that I can put a sign up and saying that it's organic, and I'm going to put a thatch roof on the toilet, and I'm going to, you know...
we haven't quite gone that far now.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, to paint the stereotypical picture. And then again, you come down to business and you realise that, oh, well, organic costs a little bit more. Again, there's that crossroads in between, which way do you go, left and right? And I guess with your business hat on, and again, with your heart hat on, if it's okay to call it that, maybe you could give me an insight into that one.
Well, you know, you have to, certainly in business, you have to make tough decisions, you know, so sometimes it can be local. You know, I worked with a lot of Irish producers in the range. All of the food is made in Ireland, and we also have beautiful oak table and bench that's made by a local guy down in Westmeath, who made me a bench and a table, and it was so beautiful I asked him to make some for the range as well. So, but then, you know, not everything can be made in Ireland. That just is not realistic in this day and age. So when we can, I love to work with Irish producers, but it's not always possible. Also, you know, there's a certain scale here as well. You know, we're selling in 15 stores around Ireland, so the producers have to be able to produce for a certain quantity as well.
Okay, so there's a little bit of logic kicks in, as best and as locally where possible, organic and all of that, I guess, where and again when possible as well. There are telephones going off in the background. Again, it's live things happen at live events. Helen, if people want to find out a little bit more and just see how damn famous you are in this country, do you have a website?
Well, I have... I'm very big on Instagram. Which is, what's my tag? I think it's Helen James Design. I also have on the Dunn Stores website, if you go to considered/ Helen James, I think it is, or just look up brands on Dunn Stores. There's a blog on the Dunn Stores website where I put up recipes every week using ingredients from the range. And then I also have a blog called Helen James Design, where I think you should be able to get all my links to all the contacts, Twitter, Instagram, etc.
Okay, listen, if you're stuck for any of them, you're driving your car, don't pull over and try and write that down. It's in podcast format, people, at Sod Show on Twitter. We'll put you in touch with Helen, whatever you're looking for. In the meantime, Helen James, thank you so much. It's been a real genuine pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. You too. Thanks so much.
It's always good to meet me, says Helen in the background. I'm joking. Okay, look, with thanks to our sponsors, Greenstacks, Compostable Bags for Home and Garden, to you for coming along today, and the man that I was heckling downstairs with his good lady enjoying a quiet bite to eat, to the Powers Court Townhouse Centre and Counterculture for providing us with refreshments this afternoon. Our executive producer, Katrina Redmond, Brian Green with me here, I won't say in studio, Luke Donegan, Stuart and Sean, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in about a half an hour or next Friday at 3 p.m.